In Chapter 15 of Life on Land, Emily talks about breath. She says that breath lights us from the inside. It arouses our life force. And it's something that must be felt. The sound emerging as audible breath suggests new forms. It dissolves density. It refines movement and perceptions. Our awareness grows as a result. She said that sensing is a form of seeing. We see without the eyes. It's called sense perception. She says to be still and notice. You can experience gushes of aliveness, which is created by the movement of breath, which brings attention to a more basic engagement with existence. Heated breath flurries from one place to another, she says, making her scalp tingle, her throat wet, her skin ready. She says the sweep of breath encourages sensation and soars through her. And for a long while, she can dwell in this miracle of movement and sensation, this extraordinary life process dawning, dancing, drawing on the wind of mysterious life. She says that for her to feel herself as a cosmic happening, that it's essential for her capacity to live at all. She feels firsthand the stir of life as the wind of her breath quickens, bringing her to an uncluttered state of receptivity. The simplicity of this moment is like sitting on a rock in the middle of the ocean with an occasional bird flying by. She feels the elemental simplicity of her own existence, singing as a song of breath which releases her from having to categorize herself, and she dwells sweetly in it. She doesn't want to manipulate it, this sweetness. She doesn't want to force it one way or another, but simply experience the aesthetics of being alive. She says this concert of existence places her in resonance with the biosphere, meaning that at any given moment there is no body, no separation, and she is part of the swirl of biomorphic unfolding. At this point, she's not bound by culture or language. The deepening of sensation allows her to be without category, and she transfers the moisture of her cells, joins the wet of the grass, the pour of the ocean, the stars that watch over the night. The plants breathe, her skin is wet, we are here. And for Emily, she said that was the first stage of sanity. Fluid movement enhances health and well-being and has far-reaching benefits beyond our capacity to name. Again, it is our breathing that begins our terrestrial dance. Everything begins with the breath. Now I'm going to quote directly from the book. Lying on one's back and beginning a play of breath affects the usual controls that have become systemic and are reflected in the entrapment of breath. No other intention, not trying to release anything, not trying to fix anything, but just to begin to enjoy the movement of breath itself, the aesthetics of breathing. I encourage flexibility in breath. I encourage the capacity to shift the part of the throat or head or nose or chest or stomach or pelvis that the breath is moving through. Again, not trying to fix anything, just encouraging the movement of breath without insisting that it do anything more than that. I say this because in movement there is no particular direction. When I force or impose direction, as in fixing, I localize the movement too much, and it cannot inform me as a non-localized or more generalized movement can do. breath is an invitation for a greater intelligence to come and dance. Wave motion is the movement of the wind on water. It becomes a beckoning of our origin. Our 85% fluid bodies relax and return to water. Like amphibians that developed hind legs to pursue prey on land, we return to our watery origin to resurrect. As I can permit my breath to soften my hips, waves enter my pelvis deep into the subterranean chambers where prehistoric anemones twirl. There I can permit myself to receive and welcome undulations of life and love. Into my legs it spreads, my arms, my face, even the fluid inside my eyes starts to move, and I begin the cosmic drowning, the relinquishing to love. Sensation can be like a lantern lighting the unknown darkness. It can guide us into new territory. Like a glisten along the walls of a dark cave, it leads us without the use of maps. My sensation forms a link, the simplicity of this moment. Elemental, unfettered, no agenda, no ambition, no maps, only the sensation of my softening and yielding to my breath. A falling away of my own form, a kind of recapitulation of the cosmic moment when all is movement, my breath, when unencumbered with imprints, can soften me in this way. So now I'm paraphrasing. So apparently, Emily could feel her arm give way, and she sensed millions of movements, many rhythms, somewhat like music. And it was in the softening of her flesh, she called that a dissolve. She's linked to ever-pervasive movement, the movement of the universe. Even 30 seconds of this movement can reverberate for weeks and months. The portent of it disturbs her sleep, and all of her usual defenses are rattled by this gift of unguardedness. So she compares it to bathing in a cosmic soup. She comes up for air, and then she's swimming once again, as she permits her life to be taken from her. So she's in the process of dying while still in form. And this dissolution, she says, is like a form of death without the literal outcome. She's letting go of form, and she considers this to be a great art. So many exhales, she says, expiring, the dissolving of form, inspiring, the taking on of form. So the more that she breathes, she softens, and the more that she softens, she drowns in this cosmic soup. Her fears rise, and like in a bardo realm, she says, she's assailed by the wrathful deities of her fear. She talks about her fear, the many faces of it, hunger, boredom, distraction, frustration. So she has come to think that these are just hallucinations produced by the great dissolve itself. And it's a trick. It's a trick. So she softens, she says, and she screams. The walls ring out with her fear, as she crawls back into the hole of her defenses. And she says that in one moment, everything collapsed. It was like an earthquake of consciousness. Now I'll quote her. As I lay dying, the cosmic wind stirred in my breath. Amoebas of movement became my fingers. My defensiveness gone like bombs falling from the sky, a Berlin blitz. I lay destroyed. The wind came and carried me to the shore. I lay destroyed and swimming at the same time. I fell apart and was being lifted at the same time, opposite movements occurring simultaneously. Too weakened to stop it, I had no choice but to let myself be carried by the currents of death and deliverance. This was a cosmic drowning. A frozen person cannot recognize love. I, a messenger from the North Pole, can tell you that. Ice cannot register this softness. Something must melt. Surrounded, permeated, transpired, I can let go. A fish swims according to the movements of the ocean that it inhabits. The mystery of the ocean lies in the movement of the fish, an extraordinary orchestration of creative flux, constantly weaving its miracle, temporal forms changing, dissolving, gathering anew. The play goes on. Shall we dance? Can we dance?